Let's do this. Final hour. Dirt's regular Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Some sad news to pass along in a moment. I feel like we got a beef brewing.
We got beef brewing?
It's growing.
Oh.
It's percolating beef.
Ah.
I'll get to that in a moment.
I love a good percolating.
This just came across. Garrett Anderson passed away. Looked up at MLB Network and was like, what?
I didn't. 53.
Now, I have not seen any details on how.
I loved Garrett Anderson.
I mean, I hated him because he won a World Series with the Angels and beat my team.
So players.
But I always loved him as a player.
Yeah, like players that beat like you. Him. You don't have teams that, like, you hate the team because they beat your team, but it's more. What was the pitcher's name in that series? The number one for the Angels. He had the face.
God.
He had the face.
Was it Lackey?
Lackey.
Was John Lackey?
Oh,
was it John
I hated
Lackey?
John Lackey.
Yeah, I feel like it was John Lackey before he went to the Red Sox.
Was why I didn't root for that team.
Let me see.
Garrett Anderson.
Yeah, he was
awesome.
He came up late in that year and was a rookie and Who? Threw for the Lackey did. That was the start of his MLB career.
Yeah, so like I always view teams when they beat my team like
if Tim Salmon.
Tim Salmon. I almost caught a home run ball from Tim Salmon in a Mariner game.
All-time name.
Great Tim Salmon.
I always loved the Garrett Anderson swing, and I appreciated the player. So I was able to separate it with him for sure.
Well, it's just always like you can
but
hate the team.
But he caused me pain.
Yeah, sure. He helped cause you pain. He was so good in that series. You're talking about an All-Star Game MVP, a two-time Silver Slugger, a home run derby champion, played for my Atlanta Bravos. So, like, dude, 53 is way too young.
I think it's just being reported. I have not seen official. I shouldn't say anything because I haven't seen any actual reporting on what happened because I didn't know. I don't think he was sick, so I think it was something that was sudden for him.
Yeah, MLB Network just broke in with it.
Yeah, I just watched.
I think it just came across the wire.
Dude, way too young. Only 53 years old. World Series champ. You mentioned All-Star Game MVP, Home Run Derby champion. I did not remember the Garrett Anderson Home Run Derby championship.
I will admit that one.
I don't remember that.
Right over my head.
A lot of them I can remember, I feel like.
Right over my
Bobby
head.
Bobby Abreu randomly winning one. Like, there's some names that will stand out. Garrett Anderson, I did not remember in that regard. Long MLB career.
Who do you think he beat in that one?
God, 2003, I mean, Bonds had to still be doing it. That's still peak steroid Bonds.
Look.
Probably not McGuire anymore at that moment.
Here we go.
2003. Brett Boone? Was Brett Boone still doing his thing in 03, or was he done by then?
Mm-hmm,
his Papa steroids probably over.
That's the most harm. Here we go. Here's the winners. So we got
Jim Thome, maybe?
Okay. It doesn't tell me who he beat on the Wikipedia. It just says that he won it in 03.
Okay.
So 2003 Home Run Derby. I know.
I'm going to see if I can find participants.
I got it.
Because that's an interesting one.
I don't got it.
Here we go.
It.
Garrett Anderson won it. The other contestants were Brett Boone, correct on that, Carlos Delgado.
Oh, Delgado.
Who could forget Carlos Delgado? Jim Edmonds.
Yeah.
Jason Giambi.
Yep.
Albert Pujols. The beginning of the machine.
You could argue this is one of the best upsets and wins for a player in home run derby history.
Richie Sexton.
Wow.
And Gary Sheffield.
Richie Sexton.
Yeah. It was
the
Anderson.
The pride of Brush Perry.
Anderson versus Pujols was your finalist.
Dude, he
I was
beat
wrong on Bonds.
Pujols in a home run derby.
Yeah, it's very. That might have been Pujols' rookie year. I can't remember exactly what year Pujols broke
in.
Oh,
man.
That sounds about right. Maybe a couple of years before then. Maybe I'm shortchanging him a couple of years. That's just, you see that 53, man. That's way, way too
He's
young.
First Super in sad. Games, hits, extra base hits, RBIs, and total bases for the Angels, and he's third in home runs.
Yeah, still atop almost all those categories, man. Great player, long MLB career, RIP Garrett Anderson, gone way, way too soon. Let's get to our percolating beef here, and that is, I feel like, now we can let Brandon chime in on this as well. Get the lay of the land of the office dynamics.
Black Brandon or pale Brandon? Where are we going here?
Well, pale Brandon's the one. Pale Brandon is involved in the beef.
I am?
So I might need Black Brandon to chime in and share his two cents, please.
Okay.
I feel like we got a little bit of show beef brewing with you and Patrick Harris.
With me?
Now, let me explain myself to you, okay?
Where's my burrito, by the way?
Exactly my point.
He also in here with a burrito.
He also caught you doing something yesterday that I unfortunately had to take his side.
Caught me
now,
doing something.
Now, I don't like having to turn my back on my co-host. That's not a fun thing to have to do. but I did have to defend his honor in this instance.
That's okay. I threw you straight under the bus on the piss dipper situation. They're like, do you think he did it? I'm like, absolutely, that was him.
We're still trying to figure out who did that. We'll get to the bottom of it at some point, okay? Yeah, my investigative team, I've hired a couple of PIs. They're going to get to the bottom of it, right?
Oh, your PIs, okay.
No, you have been very critical of Patrick Harrison, called him certain names that cannot be said on the air over his continued purchasing of the water for the water cooler.
Oh, the water bitch.
You call him the water bitch because he gets the water and he fills it up. Now, this was the original Isaac Ropp water stand, and then Ropp never filled it up anymore. And
he did it the first one or
time,
two, yeah.
And then Patrick Harris just grabbed the ball and ran. He went turbo with it, said, I'm going to fast break this thing down the floor, and I'll be the guy that's the water guy from now on. Now, I have paid for two water. I think it's about $16. I Venmo'd him.
Well, the first one's 15. The second refills are like 8.
Sure, but he does two of them at the same time. So he waits till they're both empty and then fills them both up. So it's about $16 to fill them both up.
We have water cooler controversy in 2026.
We do. And you make fun of him for being the water bitch. Yep. And you tell him, I'm not going to use that water because I'm no water bitch. Paraphrasing, but that's about what you say.
Kind of, yeah.
You know what you did yesterday?
I got the water.
You used the water. Now, Harris came out. I can't remember where you were, but he checked with me. He said, hey, Dirt, did you see your co-host fill up his water in the water bottle? And I said, I got to take your side here. I witnessed it. I saw it. He did it. And now Harris, who owes you a breakfast burrito from your Guardians versus Brave bet, has not paid up. And your stomach's grumbling, and
he's gonna do it.
Yeah. I know.
But I'm nervous of spitting that burrito now, but
you're waiting for that burrito. I think we got a little percolating beef. And would you like, the floor is yours to defend yourself?
Sure.
On the usage of the water.
Sure.
After calling him the water bitch,
Your Honor, we plead no contest.
Okay, no contest.
We're not pleading innocent, and I'm not pleading guilty. We plead no contest. There's a lot of context you left out of that whole setup.
I don't feel like I did. I feel like I got a good rundown here.
Context is important.
I feel like we got a good rundown of this. Topic.
I'm nervous right now as we sit talking about this that he's going to bring my burrito in off our sports bet, and it's gonna taste like cigarette smoke.
Probably going to happen.
I got to admit that. Front
keep looking through the windows and see where
vape
it is.
Smoke. It's way too late for a walk up. Grape vape smoke flavor. That's what the burrito's going to taste like.
What is the best flavor of vape?
I couldn't tell you.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
I've never vaped.
I never have either. Do people like the grape? I'd imagine grape's a good flavor.
Grape sounds like it would be delightful. Like grape bubblicious gum is, I love that.
I used to hookah a lot. Hookah was a thing for a while.
Oh, that's all you did? Yeah. Sure. Keep it going.
Hey, we're focusing on your transgressions right now.
Here's a little backstory.
There was
a little
never any
behind
weed
the curtain,
on it.
Okay, here for the listeners.
Yeah.
Isaac initiated the water cooler. He complained that water was too far away from the studio. He finally got our overlord, Ryan Cooley, to get him a water cooler. Okay? Mission accomplished.
Now people are calling me the water snitch.
That's a great name. We got a water bitch with the water snitch.
Hey!
Isaac bought the first couple jugs. Patrick then talks to Isaac and says, I will also use this. So because of that, I will help. Okay, great. Now we got a team funding thing. I also wanted to use it. So I said, you know what? I will dive in and I will help. We'll take turns. We'll rotate.
Yes.
Okay? Now, you never volunteered. Sukanik has never volunteered.
It's not true. And filling up the water?
Hold on.
No.
At the onset, you did not volunteer.
I paid for water.
You have, but on the onset.
I paid for it.
Luke certainly doesn't.
No, never.
Joe Fish, Rashad, we ain't diving in.
No, they're drinking it on the weekend.
Brandon.
Free water. How's my free water taste?
Casey, you know, Rust, you know, whoever was here has not paid. I paid $15 for the first jug, and then through the rotation, it was Isaac's turn.
Yeah.
Isaac basically was like, no, I created it.
I came up with the idea.
You do it.
You fill up the water.
To which I said, good point, but also, I thought we were a team. We're going to rotate this.
It's got to be fair and balanced here.
So I said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to fill up in the kitchen, which is a further walk. I'm done. I'm not spending money if we're not going to share this, you know, universally. Well, Patrick didn't take that stance. Patrick basically was like, fine, I'll do it. And so ever since then,
you've called him the water bitch.
He's called himself the water
bitch. He's acknowledged. He's a bit of a water bitch.
So he brings in two jugs like he's Paul Bunyan with water, and he puts it in there, and I just laugh. And I'm like, if you're going to be the water bitch, I'm going to take advantage of a little bit of the water bitch, and I'm going to do it. So, I did fill up the water bottle. Sue me.
I think he might.
Be careful, water snitch. You're probably going to cut the whole segment and send it to him.
I think he's going to fart on your burrito now.
I'm deathly afraid of it. I haven't gotten it yet.
Also, the other layer of beef here. Now, this is, I almost forgot strike three. So you could go strike one, Sprague using the water after calling him the water bitch. Strike two, Harris not giving you your burrito in time. Strike three, we never talked about on the air. People who don't know this about Sprague, he is very, you're a germaphobe. You take this very seriously.
Yeah, I had this, an incident this morning.
There was another one this morning. Huh?
I had to run to a 24/7 mini mart situation.
Grab something on the way in.
And the guy is very nice, like super nice guy. He knows me a little bit, right? I'm kind of a pre, if I'm going to scan something, I turn the barcode to you so you can scan it as I hold it. And he was like, hey, buddy. And I'm like, what's up, man? How's your Friday? It's good. Oh, these look the same. And then he grabbed them by the area that I drink out of to turn it to see the flavors. And I was like, cherry strawberry.
It's just, that's all you need
cherry
to know.
Cherry strawberry.
Did you hose them off when you brought them in?
I rinsed them.
We got some alcohol wipes right here.
I rinsed them.
Well, the other day, Harris walked in when Sprague wasn't in the studio and asked Jason Swigart a question via Sprague's microphone, and he essentially licked your microphone. Jeez. I'm telling you, I'm going to keep this thing going. We got some show beef going on right now.
Yeah.
Thanks
for that reminder.
Me v. Meringue,
I
you
totally
v. Harris.
Forgot about that. It was 3 days ago.
We're beefing with the firm.
Yeah, he just came in, took my mic.
He did.
My mic cover is on.
Swag, you're hell on your car.
You know, he spoke
right
like Sylvester,
mic.
Like fluffering flickatat, Flagor.
I was listening
just
to the
like
boys.
Just all over the phlegm.
We got issues. That's all I'm saying. I think I called it. I call balls and strikes. That's what I do with beefs, and I'm calling strikes here. We got a beef brewing.
It's okay.
I don't know where it's going to go. You're filling up the water. That was an out of bounds play right there.
Okay?
That was a shot across the bow.
Given that you reminded me of
we have terms of condom,
I think I'm in the right.
We have terms of agreements here, and then you cross the line.
All right, water snitch. Move on. Let's talk about the Blazers and Spurs.
Hey, Blazers and Spurs are playing this weekend. Did you know? Game one is on Sunday. Sunday. How do we feel? How long will it go? Some audio to go along with it, including Wemby's comments on playing Portland and some Denny Omdia audio for you. Blazers, Spurs preview. And then we'll sprinkle line coming up bottom of the hour. Back after this on the fam. Well, we'll sprinkle line coming up bottom of the hour. The lines are out. And I believe Brandon Sprague. Of all the series that we know.
Yeah.
So we obviously don't know who Detroit's going to play yet and who OKC's going to play yet. Of all the ones that we know, the Blazers have the longest odds to win their first round matchup.
Of all the teams?
Of all the teams.
Of the ones we know, though.
Of the ones we know. Like, we'll have higher odds.
The 1-8s are going to be different.
Yes.
The Thunder are going to be a much bigger favorite.
We are a 2-7, so I don't know if that should be that surprising. There's only one other 2-7 in the NBA, and it is Boston versus Philly. Let me double check, though, but I believe I saw that on DraftKings because I was looking at some stuff for the weekend last night.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just double check series odds of everybody. I got to scroll to find the actual future bets. But it just tells you kind of what they're up against and what the odds are. The line for Sunday's game is currently sitting at 10.5. So that's the way it starts. Before we get into some of the gambling and the picks and all of that, let's hear from some people involved, shall we? You know who has not played against Portland this year?
Wemby.
Victor Wembanyama.
Hasn't played against him since 2024. I was at that game.
24, the last time they played, you were there.
Yeah.
And here is Wemby talking about the Blazers getting ready for game one on Sunday.
I mean, very active team. Very physically active is what I mean, you know. Very intense. Not an easy team to play. You know, they've been, they're in the playoffs this year, but they've been, they've been like a tanking team in the past years, and they're now playoff teams, you know, trying to contend. And no matter through the years, still hard to play, you know, still, they have their identity. They're strong.
He mentioned that they haven't played against you personally this season.
Yeah.
Are you like the Spurs' secret weapon in this series?
The least best kept secret. Yeah.
Secret weapon.
I mean,
what are we asking there?
Look, this guy's got a massive ego. I don't blame him. He's 7'4" and he can do anything he wants.
That's a worse question than asking AZ Fudd about her relationship with Paige Beckers at a press conference.
Quick note, by the way, because I pulled up the odds. So, yeah, the series that we know right now, Raptors, underdog plus 400.
Yeah.
T-Wolves, underdog plus 280.
That's kind of tasty if you buy into the Ann is healthy and they've done it before.
You're all over your Atlanta Hawks, plus 220 for them.
Ooh.
The Lakers, sans Luka, are a plus 400 in their series.
Yeah, I don't feel great about that.
The other 7 seed in the playoffs is the Philadelphia 76ers. They are a plus 600 to win their series. Mm. And then you arrive at the Portland Trail Blazers, who are a plus 1,000. So outside of the 1-8 matchups, we have the longest odds. One of the things I'm curious of this series, and, you know, it's funny how time changes things and feelings about teams ebb and flow based on who's there and how good they are.
Yep.
But in my childhood, like, we've talked a lot in the recent weeks about the Jailblazer era and that being the pinnacle of basketball in the city for us and our youth. And I'll never forget the Sean Elliott shot until the day I die. I will see that shot in my head of hitting it over Rashid's finger by a millimeter or however much space there was. And if he blocks a shot, is future different? Like, what does it look like? I'll never forget that. And then the run that they went on, like, every time it felt like we got a bit of hope of, you know, hey, we beat the Rockets in the first round of the playoffs. Dame hits the shot. We won a playoff series for the first time in 14 years. Who was waiting for us in the second round and dominated us?
A pretty damn good San Antonio team. Yeah.
I have forgotten how much I hate this team because they've been irrelevant since they started tanking. And even with Wemby, it's been from afar, and you're like, God, one ping pong ball away. That sucks, so I hated them for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for that hatred to get kicked up to 1,000 again. The Minix interview helped it yesterday because I'm like, oh, God, these bastards. They're already back pissing me off, and watching them hit a big three or their crowd getting into it or Wemby dominating a game or whatever, I'm fully prepared. I am embracing my inner child and ready to hate the San Antonio Spurs the way that I once did.
Fantastic.
Listen to that tone.
Fantastic.
Just fantastic.
Looking down upon us.
How's Scoot working out for you? No, I'm kidding.
I mean, I was, yeah.
They brought that up in my interview, by the way. Have you guys enjoyed Scoot? Well, you know, same as you've enjoyed.
He's probably not here, and we have a 37-year-old starting point guard.
Wait till Dame comes back.
Yes!
I mean, look.
We'll get you next year.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
As soul-crushing as the Elliott shot is.
Yeah. They went on to get swept in this series. It was only game one.
Yeah, none of the other series against them ever felt devastating.
No, because we... Well, the only one I disagree with, and I don't think we picked them to win... Them beating Houston and winning that series, like, that was the first time we felt life as a fandom in a long time.
I'm not going to memory hole that, because that Spurs team...
Oh, I didn't pick them to win.
They won that series but in five.
They dominated us.
Yes.
There was the thought of, like, hey, we're finally... Like, we finally won a playoff series. Nobody picked them to win, but can we be competitive? And they got smoked.
Yeah. You're probably right in, like... I think it was a little bit of
both. Dude, there's Blazer fans talking themselves into them winning this series.
I know. I totally get it. I remember...
I thought Elliott Williams was going to be an MVP.
No doubt. Young Hansen, year three, loading.
I said Thomas Robinson could be Dennis Rodman once on the air, okay?
J.J. Hickson was going to be the best small center of all time.
We had a listener earlier when our random Jared Jack stuff came up. I was like, dude, I got his rookie card and put it in hard plastic immediately. That was all in on Jared Jack.
You're not wrong.
So, but that's, of course, how we felt.
The Houston series, to me... In the moment, and even now today,
mm-hmm.
was more about we finally have won a series. It's been forever.
It's been 14 years.
And it's a walk-off. Yeah. Like, winning a series in a walk-off rarely happens in the association, and it was our young star guard. And so, to me, it was just about the accomplishment. I never thought at all they were winning that Spurs series.
I think I thought they could be more competitive. That's probably the homer angle that I
That's
talked myself
totally
into.
Fair to say.
And then it was like a cold splash of water on the face of, like, oh, God,
so
we're
like,
nowhere near where we need to be.
I want them in this series because I simply want them to measure and see, okay, how much better is this team? How close are we? What's the gap? And it's not just a Wemby gap, right? Like, that's not going to go anywhere. How do you comp to their guards? How do the others of the Spurs slow you down? How do they slow Denny down if they do indeed slow him down? I would rather them try to figure out their build by looking at the Spurs situation, because the Spurs in San Antonio are a shocking surprise for people. Yes, I know that sounds crazy. Nobody in San Antonio thought this team was going to be this good.
No, they thought playoffs will take a step, but not two seed.
They were open six seed at best this year and taking that playoff step, and here they are. They've ascended.
Remember, there was talk about them last year. Do you trade your first-round pick? Do you make a more aggressive move to win now? And they were like, yeah, and they said,
no,
we're going to keep the young guys and keep building the right
way.
And
they got Harper, and he's been good, and they've got Fox and Castle, and it's an embarrassment of young riches.
Yeah.
I want the Blazers, good or bad in the series, to just measure and look and see, say, what do we need to do going forward for this one? But I'm going to push back on, am I going to be tired if Wemby and the Spurs actually become the next dynasty? Yeah. I've weirdly never hated this team because they largely kick our ass. It's not even like a close contest. It's a five-game series.
Rivalry's not the right word. I just hate them for out of pure jealousy. It's not a rivalry. The Lakers have never really been a rival.
But they never
give
you
one series in our lifetime.
But they've never given you, even in the years they beat you. Like the Elliott shot was out of bounds. The fingertip away. Like
it was game one.
They've never really had anybody or a reason for you to really outright hate them other than to say they beat us. Are they going to give us that in the series? I can certainly see Wemby getting feisty with Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
I could see some of that. And if that happens, well, okay, now it's turned up. This organization's weird. They've dominated us, and I don't hate them because they've largely in their history been such a boring, great team.
They also took LaMarcus Aldridge from us. At the moment, we had
momentum.
But
we don't view it that way. We view it as he ditched us, not they stole him.
I'm just saying, that's another component of this. And that
it's
was
all weird, man.
If Dame and LaMarcus had stayed together, there would have been, I don't know what you're doing, but there's more promise and optimism in the years to come.
Well, we'd have CJ with LaMarcus and Dame, don't we know?
Yes, we would.
We know that's what they would have done. What do you mean, what would he have done?
I'm just saying, losing an all-star like that for nothing was a crippling move for this organization. And you're right that the majority of the blame goes to Aldridge. They also were a massive part of that. So, I understand your larger
thing.
Point.
I get it. They dominate
I hate all good teams. You know how I operate.
Right,
out of pure jealousy, I want what they have, and I can never have what they have.
I'd love to have what they have.
That's why I hate them, because we will never be the San Antonio Spurs.
Sure.
And guess what? We were one ping pong ball away from what they have right now.
I know.
One bounce.
I know.
One number. One ball. That's all we needed.
I know.
Or a loss to Memphis before the All-Star break. Thanks a lot, Anfernee Simons.
Where would you be at when you look at the series? Like, are you over under the 5.5?
I'm under on the 5.5. You know how I feel about it. I think the other part of it is, and this is kind of the thing with OKC winning last year, is this isn't the same. Like, a certain teams going on runs, I don't think hurts as much. It's the idea that they're not going anywhere. Like, this is just the beginning of what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how many titles that includes.
He had blood clots last year. You just don't know how any of this is going to shake
out. I totally grant you that. He's also a freak of nature that we've never seen before.
One of the greatest.
And if he stays relatively healthy,
yeah, it's a problem.
I don't know how many titles it is, but they're not going away.
I'd be surprised if he's healthy, they don't win at least a title.
So it's also the cold, hard reminder of if the series isn't, I don't know how it's going to go. We'll have some final thoughts on it, make some picks, but
I'd rather just see the series and react to what we're seeing.
Sure, and we will on Monday. Like, I'm excited to talk about game one and see whether it's good, bad, ugly, whatever. Just fun to have a Blazer playoff game to talk about. It's the reality of, like, dude, this is going to be in our way for how long? And that was the tough part. And you might not have hated the San Antonio teams a year's past the way that I did. And I understand your point that it wasn't that big of a rivalry, because we've never won a playoff game in San Antonio. We're 0-10 all time. It's not like we've been competitive. It was just the idea of, like, no matter what we do, they're in our way.
They always seem to be in our way when we are around.
And we can't. What are we going to do to get better than that? Okay. Now I got to find better players than Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili.
Right.
And Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Cool. That's
right.
Awesome.
Right.
And I'm terrified coming out of this series that'll be the takeaway of, like, dude, this was a fun year.
Well,
we made some momentum. We got the 7 seed. All of that is a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a super young team with no playoff experience that's going to say, hi, we're not going anywhere for another decade.
You're never going to be able to comp and match the 7-4 unicorn alien. What I would say, though, is what feels different is right now going into the series, when they took us on, sans the 99 season, it was established Parker, Duncan, Ginobili, and then, oh, here's Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, here's your young guy who you took, 12th overall or wherever he was.
Outside of Wemby, and Castle's really good, Fox, is he a part of the long-term thing? Barnes is not. Vassell may not. Keldon Johnson may not. Like,
booted to the bench this year.
We don't have all of it defined yet. So, yeah, you're not going to beat the Wemby problem, and it's a huge problem. But you can see everything else around and say, how can we build around what we have to try to match or top around that guy?
We'll get a glimpse of how close
we
actually
get
are.
A good glimpse of it, yes.
Starting on Sunday. We'll have some final thoughts on the series. How long does it go? How many games? Sprague asked the question. I think that's a good poll question instead of how to... Over, under 5.5.
That's the DraftKings.
That's the DraftKings odds. What side are that debate are you on? We'll close up there. Let's Sprague the line, though, shall we? There's a lot to gamble on this weekend in the NBA. The playoffs officially begin. The last play-in games are tonight. And we'll do that next.
Sprague the line.
Sprague the line.
Sprague the line.
Sprague the line.
Spring Live brought to you by Tuning In Late. Who the bleep is producing this show? Hello, Brandon. Come on down.
Brandon. It's a Brandon, Andy show.
We got a Brandon and Brandon. I'm getting double teamed by Brandons today.
I feel like you got to be an Andy when you got two Brandons. You can't be dirt.
I got to go by Andy. Brandon, yeah. Brandon, and Dirt doesn't sound the same.
Nah, Brandon, Brandon, and Andy.
That's a fair take.
It's a delightful little ABC sitcom we've got going on for ourselves.
Spray in the Line brought to you by Tommy Two Cents. Still more likely payout than trusting a spray
pick. Tommy Two Cents. So good.
Spray in the Line brought to you by reports of someone slow down on Portland's 308 interchange. These traffic guys doing about as much research as the guys on this segment.
A lot of respect for people doing any job. But I'm not going to act like I didn't go past a flagger recently. And my daughter out loud, God, that job seems horrible.
Seems horrible. Don't they make good money, though?
I told her back in the day. I feel like
I don't know if that's an old wives' tale that like it just gets said and you're like, you know, they actually make good money.
Well, I told her there was a moment in time. I contemplated going to get the certificate to be one of those people because back then it said $15 an hour, and $15 an hour back then was really good money.
You think you'd be a good flagger?
Would I be good at knowing when to turn the sign from stop to slow?
How bored would you
be? Because somebody in my ear said, your turn.
Are you allowed to put earbuds in as a flagger?
I don't think so, because you have to hear the radio of
the other
side.
What if I have like one in one ear and then one, the radio in the other ear?
I don't think that works very
well. I can't jam out?
No, I don't think that they want you doing that.
Okay. That would be, I mean.
Now, there's more into that job than I'm sure we're giving it, but.
You just easy jobbed them. I think flagging is incredibly difficult.
Who are we picking today?
You just did what I did to photographers. There's no skill involved here. Just click the button, man. You'll get the picture.
Yeah, I don't know if he knows that.
You got software to clean up all your edges.
Dirt is super anti-art.
Got filters on phones. Art's not a real thing.
Dirt thinks taking photographs is not hard.
Oh, man. Art's not a real thing. It's all made up.
Well,
I could splot some paint on and call myself Banksy and sell it for $100,000. Yeah,
that's crazy.
That I might agree with.
Thank you, Brandon.
Wait, you're anti-Banksy?
Just that of just splotting on paint. Because I've seen art in museums that look like five-year-olds just took a paintbrush
Thank you.
My kid could possibly do, and I can make some money off of. Which
Bingo.
Would
now, do you see
right
it at, like, is it for sale when you see it?
I don't know if it's in a museum. If it's in a museum, that must be something.
That's different. But you go to one of these local little art shops and you see one that you think is like this, well, there's a reason it's still there.
That's true. I drew a sailboat. All right, what do we like this weekend, folks? The Stanley Cup playoff begins.
Tarps off.
And we need the official Blue Line Brandon picks for the Stanley Cup playoff. I mean, it's pretty simple. I'll give you a rundown. You want a quick rundown of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Sure.
Colorado is the absolute, no pun intended, avalanche of everything this year. They have been a wagon from start to finish. They have arguably, although I would still take McJesus, they have arguably the best player in the sport in Nathan MacKinnon. They had, what was their point, 121 points, like just dominant, like nobody else was even close to it. They were 55, 16, and 11 this year. That's insane. Mm. Carolina has been the juggernaut all year in the East, although Tampa and Buffalo have had really good years as well. I think it seems like if Colorado doesn't win the Western Conference, it'll be a big disappointment for them. Although they already have a cup in this run with MacKinnon, but it would seem like based on the regular season they had, it would be a disappointment. And the eyes will always be on McJesus until he does it in Edmonton. He's been to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals, and he's lost both times.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the Colorado thing because I got a glimpse of them yesterday. They continue to just be dominant in the MacKinnon era.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking the Oilers to do it. I said yesterday I had to make a pick. I think it's going to be Oilers and Hurricanes in the Cup.
Okay.
And I'm taking the Oilers.
I like it.
Yeah.
Get them on over the hump. We also got the Battle of Pennsylvania in the first round, which is kind of fun. Pittsburgh playing Philly.
You know,
they hate each other. Nice little rivalry.
Is Crosby going to do, like, this is it for me? Or because there's a lot of speculation on this for him. And I know he hasn't, I don't know if he's come out
he's
right
now. He's not done
it
yet. No, he'll have another year or two. I would hope he'd be a guy that did a farewell tour because he deserves it.
Well, like,
Ovi keeps claiming that he's not done.
I hope he's not done.
Which
I hope
kind
of
weird.
Some of these guys have to. Like, you can ultimately choose to do whatever you want.
Right, if you're in that spot.
But some of them are such, you know, high caliber names that, like, somebody in their camp has to say, you need a goodbye tour.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give you a three-team money line parlay for tomorrow.
Great. I have a five-team okay. NBA round one parlay.
I am going to take Scrooge McDuck's Carolina Hurricanes in game one. They
love
take
it
on the Ottawa Senators. Although, keep an eye out for Ottawa because they were, as Ken Barkley told us months ago, a dark horse based on metrics coming into the Stanley Cup playoff.
Now, what about Columbus?
Columbus, I don't believe, made the playoffs.
They missed it.
I don't believe
those
Columbus
are the two teams, though.
Playoff, right? Am I right on that, Brandon? Did Columbus
Absolutely.
Make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Minnesota on the road in Dallas, stealing game one.
You're getting wild.
I'm getting wild against the Stars.
They're the star of the show.
Nobody's dancing on that stage at Stars.
Sure.
And I do think Pittsburgh will win game one. That's your three-game slate tomorrow. That is a plus 461 three-team Stanley Cup playoff parlay. $5 pays $28.
I'm going to go to the NBA. So you got play-in stuff tonight. You don't need to watch this. Just lay the bet and then wake up tomorrow and see that you're super uber rich. Because I pick winners.
Lock of the week.
Your five-star parlay, definitely not going to hit, of the day.
Golden Sprague lock.
Everybody liking the Hornets. They're feeling good. Charlotte hasn't been in the postseason in a long time. They haven't won a playoff series since 0-1-0-2.
Con Knipple's got the yips.
Knipple's got the yips, but we are okay. Hornets are 3.5-point favorites. We're zagging. Oh, yeah. Everybody's ready to jump off the Magic train. Whoop, whoop. We're taking the Magic. Plus 3.5 at home. Warrior Suns, Steph Curry, plus 3.5. Underdog. Nuggets, T-Wolves, game one. Some people are going to be howling. I am just going to say Joker. Nuggets, minus 6.5.
That's a pretty big line for game one.
I know, but I think it gets away at the end.
Yeah.
You know about me and the Hawks, the New York team that got in game one. I think his line's going to rise, so wait. But I like the Hawks plus the 5.5.
You're all over the Hawks, man.
I'm all over the Hawks.
I'm really curious to watch this game because I have not seen the Hawks play basketball.
Laugh when they get swept.
Just be like, what is this all about?
Watch the Knicks just look like a
this better be
wagon.
A really entertaining brand about because I have not thought about the Atlanta Hawks in months.
Oh, Magic City, dude. You wait. And then the Rockets at the Lakers.
Yes.
Sadly, for old LeBroni, I love the Rockets minus 5.5. There's your five-team NBA. Can't miss, but will definitely not hit. Parlay of the day.
Okay. Brandon, you like anything you like this weekend?
I'm just going to go back on the Blazers games. I would love to see a third game at the Moda, so I'm going to go over 5.5.
Over 5.5?
Okay. I think if they can execute in the playoffs, because there's been lapses in the regular season where the Blazers just cannot execute offensively at all, and it's so frustrating. But then you can see if they could put a good 3 to 4 minute stretch and they can stretch into it like that second quarter run against the Suns, they can put that together, steal one of these first two in San Antonio, you know, hold serve at home. I think you can go six.
Yeah, going six would be great, man. That would be a nice positive surprise, I think, for me out of the series. I know I pissed people off for the week saying I thought it was over in five.
Well, I think you're realistic, but that's fine.
Well, no, but I also like, you know, if you think they can get hot, this is a team that's very streaky in shooting. What? You know, hold on.
Portland plus 400 on the money line, game one.
You going to do it?
I'll sprinkle. Yeah, I think they're going to win a game. Why would I not sprinkle?
I'm just asking. You're going to put your money where your mouth is, Frank?
Dude, I'm going to Wayne Tinkle all over this game.
You're going to tinkle on that one?
Give me some Danny Sprinkle.
There you go. Spring in line every Friday. Well, not every Friday, but probably for some Fridays to come. Next week, we're going to have a game three to pick gamble on. Could be
on
a 1-1.
The day of, yes.
Could be a 1-1 series tie. We could be up 2-0 with a chance to go up 3-0.
I might be buying my game four tickets this time next week.
It's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Or
canceling your summer plans to go to game four.
We're in the 100 section for $49.99.
Down 3-0. Yeah. Final thoughts, and to Brandon's point, is it go over or under 5.5? We'll wrap it up on a Friday. We'll do it next on The Fam. There you go. Fist bumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. Saw this comment. The way these guys talk, the Blazers will never make an NBA Finals as long as Wemby's in the league. Well, two parts of that. One, we haven't been to an NBA Finals in, I'm not sure if people are aware of this, a very long time.
1992.
I was 3 years old. I'm currently 37, so you can go ahead and do the math on that one.
It was very odd to me to listen to maybe you caught a minute or a 10-second clip or whatever. I've been saying, I don't know how long Wimby's going to play.
It's just the idea that this is going to be in your way, and it's not just about San Antonio. Who is the defending NBA champion?
Yeah, they could defend the crown this year. First back-to-back since 2018.
The Zombie Sonics are probably going to have their second straight MVP award winner in SGA this year, although we'll see how the voting turns out. These are things. You don't have this if you're in the Eastern Conference. If you're in the East and you're looking ahead 10 years of like, hey, we're trying to build something, where can we go? 10 might be too extreme, but 5.
Right.
Over the next 5 years, who has the brightest future in the East?
You probably gamble Boston.
Probably Boston.
I think. But probably. Detroit's got a bunch of young guys. And
maybe
had a great
Detroit.
Year.
Maybe it continues. Maybe, you know, but it's not that. that insurmountable hill. And maybe San Antonio doesn't turn out to be that. And Portland pushes them to seven games, and we're left saying, oh, my God, they're not as good as we thought, and they flame out in the second round. There's just the idea of this is a young freak that's not going to leave San Antonio anytime soon. And as long as he's healthy, that's a really hard thing to overcome.
I just think you got to be realistic with it, right? In the uphill battle of building within the West. If you want to say that our conclusion is that we'll never be in the championship and then they somehow make the title game in 4 years and you text in again, like, okay, like, that's odd because nobody said that would never happen. It just, I don't know. I think the extremes are a bit much. We're just talking about the honest truth of Victor Wembanyama is
very intimidating.
One of the greatest defensive presence to ever exist.
Yep.
And there's a lot of other great young players there. I'm excited about how they match up and how it looks. They could lose in four. They could push to six. Maybe they pulled one of the biggest upsets from a gambling standpoint we've seen. I just want to see what it looks like against them. I want to know because to me, as great and respected as the Thunder are, and they very well could repeat, I look at San Antonio because they're just as young. They've had a bigger rise than you in this season, and so I just want to see how it looks and matches up so you can have takeaways on how to build this thing up to try to take down a team like that.
You know, it's really uncomfortable feeling like you have to sneeze while you're live on the air.
I've had it eight times this week.
Hold it. Turn your mic off. Hold it. Please keep talking.
See, now
hold
here's
it.
The thing I would say is if you ever have that, I would rather you sneeze because I don't know about you. I hate not sneezing more than I hate sneezing.
It wasn't I didn't try to stifle it.
I want to sneeze.
I just needed to be prepared in case a sneeze was coming because you feel it. You feel it on the horizon, but it went away.
I'm big pro sneeze. I don't think there's...
Now I'm left with the no sneeze feeling
in my
nose.
And it's a terrible feeling.
It's not fun to deal
with. There's almost nothing that makes you feel quite alive than what your body does during a sneeze.
Woo!
You just get one of those. It just feels so good.
Final two questions. We got Brandon's take in the last segment. He's going over 5.5 for the series. You know my take. I shared it earlier in the week. I'm on under 5.5. Would love to be wrong there, but I think they lose in five. My pick would be game one. A lopsided loss.
Oh, they come out. Spurs come out and send a message.
Game two, competitive loss. Spurs got a little high on their own supply. We push them, scare them a little bit. Uh-oh, cover the number.
Okay.
But lose. Game three, can't miss. Rip City Palooza's going wild.
Haven't had a real
The cherry blossoms
game.
Are out. Yeah. It's a sunny day.
Yes.
80% from three, they win.
Friday night, feeling good.
Sunday, San Antonio's like, enough of this crap. And they come back and win. And then they ceremoniously end it in game five. How long do you think it goes?
I will take five. And I say they steal one in San Antonio.
And then lose three in a row or four in a row.
And I hope we don't lose both home games. But I also could see scenarios where it's rocking, we're losing our minds, and the Spurs somehow pull out something at the very end, and we're left going,
not
dude,
that, no.
Look how close we were in both these games.
Not that.
I hope it's not that.
Not that way. I'd almost rather get killed than
that.
You know
what's going to happen come Monday? Probably going to have a different opinion
of
this.
It's going to be fun, man. I'm just, you know, having these to talk about in the Blazers be relevant at the end of April. The NFL draft's next week. And I haven't even really thought about it because the Blazers are in the playoffs.
You know what we're doing next week?
What are we doing next week?
We're grinding the mocks.
I'll grind that mock with you. You want to grind
Robinson's
the mock with me?
Coming back.
We'll go grind.
Yeah, we'll grind.
Everybody enjoy all of the playoff actions. Don't forget about the Stanley Cup tomorrow, baby. It begins. And then Sunday, Blazers. We'll talk about it Monday. It's going to be a blast. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for being a part of our Friday. If you missed the show, go check the podcast. And thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. We'll talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Meringue, is next. Listen to 105.1 FM, The Fam.